We wake up every day saying, how can we make this show better than the day before? Because we're lead pipe wielding professionals.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The MVP race is over.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
As you know, I'm a Jokic guy. I'm a big Giannis fan, as you know. I got to tell you, Joel Embiid deserves to be the MVP of the NBA.
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Still to come. From the new film Sweetwater, actor Everett Osborne, UConn head coach Dan Hurley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. And Dan Hurley of UConn about to call into this program. Also in this hour, Everett Osborne, the actor in the new film Sweetwater, that's going to be available next week based on Sweetwater Clifton, one of the first African-Americans to suit it up in the NBA, formerly of the Harlem Globetrotters as well, played for the Knicks back in the day. Everett plays Sweetwater, and he's coming into our studio in about 15-some-odd minutes time. It'll be a fun conversation with him. Mike Florio joined us in hour number two to tell us everything that he knows about Mac Jones being put on the block by the Patriots. No trade was happening. Now, I guess, Chris, does it make you feel any better that it wasn't, according to Mike, recently happening? That it was before Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo made all their moves? Or to give you any sense of, like, you could have swapped out Mac for Jimmy G, swapped out Mac for Derek Carr if that had happened?
I was interested in Derek Carr. But
so, I mean, the fact that Bill might have explored that, you got to give it up to him, don't you think? Makes it seem like he hasn't lost a step if something like that happens, right?
Well, as he told me earlier,
oh boy.
You just look back to the last 25 years.
Oh, so my word, this guy over there. Let's just focus on championships on the border of New England or in New England. How does that sound?
Sure, I'll take that.
Let's do that. thrilled to have here on the Rich Eisen Show the head coach of the national champion UConn men's basketball team. He is none other than Dan Hurley, kind enough to call into the Rich Eisen Show just mere days after it all going down against San Diego State in Houston. How are you, Coach?
Rich, I'm good, man. Pleasure to be on with you, man.
Thank you. Right back at you. Sounds like you still need a, you know, your throat's still, tournament tested. It sounds like your voice, Coach. You know?
Still hoarse. Yes, definitely still hoarse, but the boys played at such a high level that I didn't have to really work that hard.
Oh my gosh, that is fantastic. Where's the net that you cut down right now? Where does that net reside, Coach? Where is that?
I don't know, and the turnaround from Vegas to Houston was so quick that I think I might have mixed up the nets from the West Region and the Natty. So I'm going to have to get like swabs and like DNA test those nets and try to figure out which one goes with which one.
Be careful doing a DNA test with anything from Las Vegas, Coach, but you knew that already. Just be careful. Just be careful on that front. But let me ask you this. When was the first time you laid eyes on Adama Sanogo? When was that?
Yeah, so I took a he was an underclassman. You know, he reclassified up like a lot of like some top players are doing. So I went and saw him as a junior. This was right before COVID, maybe about maybe 6 weeks before. So I got a chance to see him live and in person play in the, you know, in the Philadelphia area. And I mean, the guy was just a physical specimen. And then during that COVID, he actually, reclassed up, at the end of that school year and was enrolling as a freshman. So, his recruitment got sped up, to just like a 10 days worth of Zooms. He was about to pick another school. We kind of weathered the storm, talked him out of it, and the rest, as they say,
is no doubt history. And it just, he seems to have an uncanny knack for not just finding the basketball, but creating the opportunity to receive it. He is, I mean, when he seals, you're not breaking that seal, Coach. period.
Yeah, no, that's a strong man, and his the guy's just like got an unbelievable competitive will, and he's got an incredible off the chart work ethic, and it's just very advanced in terms of how he processes the game. Being a guy that's only played basketball, he's got that typical, background that some of, a guy from Mali or Nigeria where, he was a soccer goalie, had basically been playing basketball for 5 years up to this Final Four. But, he has like that rare ability to play offense at a high level just because, the guy has just got an incredible, incredible feel for sports.
And when did you get the sense that this could be it? This is the team for you and for the school and for them. When did that first hit?
Not during the summer, because I thought we were bad in the summer. I was nervous. We would sometimes have, like you get out of a summer practice, you go into the coach's locker room. I think I heard associate head coach Kamani Young talking to, the great Luke Murray and asking him if he thought we'd be in Dayton for the play-in. I heard them saying that, and that didn't do much for my confidence during summer practices. But we got to a close scrimmage with Virginia. We knew Virginia was going to be really good. Andre Jackson was hurt. He missed the scrimmage, and we still played them to like a one-possession game. Jordan Hawkins dropped 30. Sonogo had like 24 and 12. And I knew once we got Andre back that we were going to have a squad.
Dan Hurley here on the Rich Eisen Show, UConn head basketball coach, fresh off of beating San Diego State and the rest of the tournament field to win it all, fifth championship for this school. The fact that this is now being discussed, UConn is now in the same numerical conversation, Indiana, the same number of basketball championships as Duke. What does that mean, do you think, Coach?
Yeah, Gino and Coach Calhoun, what they built here from a basketball standpoint, it's truly, they call this place, the basketball capital of the world. And it, obviously with what goes on, what's gone on in terms of success, championships, and the iconic players, men's and women's, it's created a brand in college basketball that, is second to none, and that should qualify it for blue blood status. If that, I don't know who decides that. Is there a panel of sports writers? I don't know. Like who came up with that? I don't know who's in charge. But and those guys, they built this incredible brand, and the university. And then when the Whalers left, obviously the Huskies mean everything to the state of Connecticut, but we're the professional sports franchise of the state.
Let's talk about you a little bit, if you don't mind, Coach Dan Hurley. The fact that your family was there, your dad was there, PJ Carlissimo was there, it kind of did you look around as you're cutting down a net, seeing your college coach, seeing your brother, your family, your dad? I mean, it had to be like a dream for you,
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was surreal. The whole thing was surreal. I always feel like, like at Rhode Island, I had some excellent teams late in my time there. And, I think in year five, we had a great team that, there was a great Oregon team with Dylan Brooks that were up five with 2 minutes to go in that game. And, to get to a Sweet 16, and, we blew it a little bit, and as a player, I had a lot of moments in my career, which I thought, were going to be truly breakthrough moments. And, as a player, I always, seemed to come up a little bit short. It was a surreal feeling to me, just with everything I've experienced in basketball, really, Rich, that it was going so well. I was waiting for it to turn to, to at some different points. But I had tremendous people around me on the journey. It was like, to have my brother and obviously my wife, Andrea, and my two boys, and the one that's on the team that got in every game. So that now I'm good at home for a while, Yeah. My dad, you know, if that don't make her happy, Jersey girl, when she's dead, then I don't know what will. PJ, I mean, it was surreal, the whole experience and getting to the top of the mountain with all those, all these important people in my life around.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even bring up the fact that it was your son, Andrew, who dribbled out the clock, too. I mean, come on. You can't make it up.
Yeah.
This cannot be made up.
And he buried me in a couple of the other games. Like, I didn't think he was very good against Gonzaga. I think he committed a foul. He missed the block out, and then he turned the ball over. And then he turned the ball over versus Miami when I told him to break the count because the ref was counting.
Yeah.
So he picked up back-to-back turnovers in his last two appearances with, I believe, two fouls. So he hurt our analytics. He hurt a lot of our overall numbers as a team.
Well, he was just saving his best for the actual, you know, net cutting for the whole tournament, Coach. You know, he was just he was focused on the task at hand on that one. No question about that. And look, by the way, I'm from Staten Island. So anybody who's coached
Joe and Pat.
So did you order from Joe and Pat's in the Wagner College film session nights? Is that what you're up there on Grimes Hill?
It ate up most of our budget. Not the same resources. The Roadhouse, we had right at the bottom of Grimes Hill. That was our go-to spot, big closing dinner spot.
Fantastic.
In recruiting.
Yeah, okay. That's great. That's PJ's old haunt as well. I mean, would you mind sharing what conversation did you have with PJ Carlissimo, and was it lost on you or him at all that the head coach of San Diego State was an assistant of Steve Fisher's on the night in 1989, the same night 34 years before? Dan, was that lost?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that call in the beginning of the tournament, and then it was brought to my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say anything to him about it, but I was thinking about it. And, you know, it's like we both had some tears in several of like the times we sat down and did like the radio interviews. Cause like when I went to play for him, I was a mess. So, I should have been better for him. We had my sophomore year. We had a team that was a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. We rolled through the Big East regular season and conference tournament. We smoked Syracuse by like 35 in the Big East tournament finals, and we were rolling into the NCAA tournament, and like I know he needed more from me for us to be like better, like potential Final Four team and during that time. So by the end of the NCAA tournament, I was like sobbing and apologizing to him for being a mess when I was 20.
You mean you did that on Monday night? You told him that? Is that what you're saying?
No, Sunday.
So the day before
the media with
really
day before I'm playing for the national championship, I'm apologizing to my old college coach that I didn't live up to what he needed from me.
What did he say to that? What did he say to that?
They are like most people do when somebody thinks you're crazy. They just they hug you and tell you no, you know.
Well, you
but
got
that's how I felt, you know, and I wanted to get that off my chest because I think a lot has been. Like my career there wasn't what it shouldn't have been, to a degree, I think a lot of that, even when you're so far removed from it, when you put so much into your career and something, it still haunts you. You know, when I see, when you relive parts of it, of things where you know you could have been better, and now that I'm a coach, obviously I understand his perspective a lot better.
I was about to say, I'd imagine those experiences, you know. I could say, forget about your Hall of Fame high school coach or father. But, I mean, these experiences you personally went through, player, and whatever struggles you had and were going through, has to have made you a better coach, I would assume.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think, no doubt. The pedigree in the household with my dad is, my dad is as great a basketball coach as anyone in his generation at any level, and anyone that knows the game truly that has spent any time around my dad on a basketball court will tell you that. And then Bob, and everything that Bob did in basketball, I mean, I couldn't have had better pedigree And then you add into that just dealing with a lot of adversity and being a lot more relatable to all your players. The majority of your roster is gonna struggle during the course of the year and is gonna struggle in their career. I mean, there's very few Adama Sinogos or Jordan Hawkins, mm-hmm. or Andre Jackson. Well, actually, you know what? I don't have too many guys on this team. But it makes you relatable, I think, and the best coaches, I think, just that they understand the minds and can really help those players that are going through difficult times.
And I guess I'm mandated in my position to ask you about running it back. Do you think you're going to get all the kids back, or what's your sense as we're sitting here 72 hours after cutting down nets, Coach?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be definitely the potential for a couple guys to move on with their career. I mean, that they've climbed to the top of the mountain. It's rare in the relationship between player and coach, where you both kind of get what each other wants, right? Where the players deliver you the championship, the team thing, and then they put themselves in the best possible position to live their dream. So it's like, I think, it'll be a thrill to see these guys that end up making the move, make that move. But we will be returning some outstanding young players that will potentially be high picks in next year's draft. We also bring in a recruiting class that is loaded. This is by far the best class that we've brought in, and it's not even close. And then I'd imagine that we're not going to have to, if there's some help that we need out of the portal, I don't think that we're going to have to beg the same way that we have maybe in past cycles, because UConn is back. UConn is back to putting guys in the NBA draft and hanging banners.
Congratulations on that. Last one for you. Let's drop names. Who'd you hear from? Who'd you get a text from? We're like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Did you get one of those?
Well, yeah, I mean, George Iskander. I mean, as a kid, I grew up with Jersey City. Okay. I had seen him maybe like 35 years. But then he went to every one of my postseason games. Like, I hadn't seen him since I was in high school. He just grew up in Jersey City in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, that's good juju. So I'm going to get him on the ticket list. So there's some like strange ones like that, mm-hmm. where I got reconnected with people I haven't seen in years. I think Coach K, I still get Coach K, I'd say I still get a little, even though Coach Bob, I mean, that's like,
sure.
You still, when you hear from him, you're like, get out of tension. He's very, he got a persona about him, and he's got such grace and dignity, which I can't relate to the way I act. So I would say that more. Yeah, I don't know.
That's cool.
I haven't looked. I can be honest with you, I got 800 messages.
Oh,
and a lot of them. I haven't gotten back.
Are you serious? What was the number when you got back to your phone? What did it say on the green dot on your phone?
It got to the high nines. Now, I would never let it crack 1,000, but I think I'm at like 800 messages right
Fantastic.
Now. So I got work to do.
Well, I'm from Staten Island. You're Jersey City. I feel like we're neighbors. So
we are.
Congratulations. Right. There's multiple bridges and tunnels connecting our worlds. Thanks again for the call. Greatly appreciate it. Congratulations. It was a blast watching it. You be well.
Thanks, man.
You got
Thanks,
it. Rich. You got it.
Honest,
you got same right back at you. That's Dan Hurley right here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of UConn beating San Diego State. How about that story, Mikey? He goes to B.J. Carlesimo in tears saying, I'm sorry I wasn't good for you back in the 90s. He's getting coached. He's about to coach the national championship. He goes, P.J.'s there calling the game for Westwood 1. I love stories like that.
Yeah.
They break your heart. And also, again, Dan Hurley may be a UConn guy by way of Rhode Island. He coached at Wagner College, high school basketball in New Jersey, where he's from. And you just heard, I used to say it this way too, when I started in my career, the NCAA tournament.
Tournament.
You heard him say that word, tournament?
Tournament. Also, it had to be tough for him, you know, with Bobby's success.
Yeah. Jay Billis mentioned that on Tuesday when he called in.
That's just, you're the younger brother. That's always just such big shoes to fill. And he, I mean, no offense, he just wasn't going to be Bobby Hurley.
That's part of the reason why Jay referred to the difficult times that he had and why Dan was calling himself, quote unquote, a mess.
I mean, I was at Seton Hall when Danny came in.
Yeah, 91 is
and
when he came
like
in.
That was my second or third year. And I remember because it was like Bobby. Danny came in and he wasn't like, you know, he was average. And everybody wanted him. They're like, oh, where's the Bobby in Danny? And the father.
That can't be easy, man.
And it wasn't
which is
easy
one of the
kind of, that's had to have.
One of the many reasons why Serena's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, because think about that.
She I remember when she showed up, when I was on SportsCenter and she showed up, it was like, oh, this is Venus's younger sister. What's she going to do?
Right. Yeah.
Change the game is what she's going to do.
Let's take a opinion of changing the game. The man who plays Nat Sweetwater Clifton in the new film Sweetwater, Everett Osborne, is joining us here. Apparently, he was at the celebrity NBA All-Star game, hooping it up. Let's talk with him when we come back. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Everett Osborne here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just saw a clip of Sweetwater available in theaters near you about the brilliant Nat Clifton and his story helping break the color barrier in the NBA way back in the day. I can't believe this story's never been told in a movie before.
Everett. You and me both. You and me both, Rich. It's crazy because the director, shout out to him, and the writer, Martin Gigi, he's had this for over 28 years. To think I was actually 2 years old when he started doing his research. I mean, he grabbed the actual Yellow Pages, cold call. There was no Google.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that this story wasn't made at all, but it's the perfect time.
It is the perfect time. It's a great story to be told. And how did you get associated with the project of playing Nat Clifton?
A dream. I can't even strategically tell you how it happened.
Okay.
I just know as the actor, come home, have a regular self-tape script that you have to do. So I print out the paper, I read it, and I'm like, wow, it's the story of the first African-American to sign an NBA contract.
Yes.
And to change the game. So that's how my process worked. So I saw it, and initially I just went straight in, did my research, and put in a self-tape at home, which is what we usually do. And then a week and a half later, I got a call to go to Warner Brothers and do the audition in person. And also, to add to that, they wanted to see me, not just the actor, but the basketball player as well. So me and my uncle went to a gym, and I had to record me playing ball, just like Sweetwater back in that time, 1950s, and Chuck Taylor's doing all dunks. All shots, 10 in a row was me, no cuts, no edit. So I sent that over and the acting side, and the stars just aligned.
Okay, now, I'm going to pick this out of that fascinating story. Was it your choice to put on Chuck Taylor's, or did they tell you you needed to put on Chuck Taylor's to make this recording?
So great question.
Thank you.
To be honest, yeah, seriously, because I pretty much had like 2.5 weeks to prepare for this role.
Yes.
So no choice. Every choice was informed by me for the character in the audition, because I had to show up as Sweetwater, and I knew that. I knew that the time frame was short, so everything I did was informed by me, and they loved it. The director said I walked in as I am, quote unquote, and everybody was on the same accord.
And you do have a history of playing, though, yourself, though. It's not like your first time, like, oh, let me just try and get up to speed on playing basketball. No,
I do have a history. I mean, I played professional in Australia, played Division I in Texas, grew up here in Los Angeles, California, went to high school here. So I've been playing ball my whole life.
Which high school did you go?
Palisades High School.
Okay,
very good. Shout out to Palisades
Dolphins. Shout out to Palisades.
Spent a little time at El Segundo Eagles, so shout out to them.
Well, this is your hometown.
Exactly. That's right, why I'm wearing the gold. You know.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Everything is strategic. Yeah. We don't play around here, man.
Understood.
Right? It has to be.
So, and where in Texas did you play?
Texas Rio Grande Valley.
Okay.
So it's McAllen, Texas. Actually, the only school that offered me at the time, and I went with it, and it was life-changing. I was the president of all student-athletes there. It was a crazy experience.
Okay.
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but it was a crazy, beautiful experience to show how basketball can change your world and environment. So I did have history, to answer your question, but it's interesting because I didn't have history playing in 1950. I didn't have history playing in the 40s and 30s, so I literally had to put my world aside and absorb a whole new world, whole new style of play, whole new understanding of life in the game to truly take on the Sweetwater role, or else I would have been shortchanging the story and him.
But for you to play the role of a guy who helped break a barrier to make your entire journey to this role possible,
yeah,
not just as an actor, but also to have the realistic look to your acting role, that had to blow your mind a little bit here.
Blew my mind a lot. It was just crazy. Didn't even know who this guy was. Like, you know, and the beautiful thing about Sweetwater was he wasn't just the first to break the color barrier as a black man, right? It's what he brought to the game that really set him apart. I mean, he was innovative, the creativity, the style, the flair. The game saw nothing like that before, right? It was very boxed in. I mean, he played for the Harlem Globetrotters before.
Mm-hmm.
So he brought that game, that freedom that we love watching today. He brought that to the league, and it was very disruptive, as all change is, right? So seeing what he did and seeing the grace that came after him, the Dr. J's, Elgin Baylor's, Connie Hawkins, Julius Irvin's, Michael Jordan. And even Michael Jordan said, you know, there's no Michael Jordan without Sweetwater. You know, so to think, like you said, this creativity that we love came from this man.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the responsibility to now portray this role and to live in this truth was mind-blowing to answer your question, man. It's a complete honor.
Everett Osborne here on the Rich Eisen Show playing Sweetwater. And you said you hadn't heard the story. And prior to you sitting down, you said, you asked me if I had heard the story. Yeah. And I said, yes, I'm from New York. And you had just heard in the green room my interview with Dan Hurley bringing up where I'm from in New York. And go ahead, say what you said to me, Everett. It's okay. Go ahead. Well, we're in a safe space.
Okay, safe space. Okay.
Yeah, you were in a safe space.
Okay, I believe it. All right. Well, you said you're from New York, but I thought you said Staten Island.
Oh, my God.
So I felt a disconnect. Is there a disconnect?
Oh, my man.
Am I missing something?
My man, we just became best friends.
Yeah.
I cannot believe
so true.
My New York City credentials. Being from Staten Island, the fifth and forgotten borough of Staten Island, is being questioned by somebody who's from the Palisades.
Okay.
You're in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I mean,
not from the Palisades. Let's get this together.
But you don't like the way I just painted with a broad brush where you're from.
You know,
right?
What?
You didn't like that feeling, did you?
In this moment,
yes.
There's understanding, there's connection, there's truth.
Yes.
I embrace it. You know what? Staten Island is New York.
Yes, it is.
Everett, dig your feet in.
In this moment.
Take a stand.
Well, listen, you have to understand, right? You know, there's multiple truths in this world. You're right. He's right. I understand. I see both sides.
The disrespect coming from the same chair where Method Man once sat when you said the same thing to him.
I did.
Mr. Staten Island himself.
Shout out to Method Man.
Yes.
We have great. We have Method Man. We have Rich Eisen.
That's true.
Like, we have greats to lean on.
That's right.
And I'm grateful.
Thank you very much.
That's my man right there.
That's greatly appreciated. Greatly appreciated. Everett Osborne here on the Rich Eisen Show. And so let's dive in a little bit to your playing career. You said you played professionally in Australia.
In Australia.
How'd you wind up there?
It's started off doing a mission trip in New Zealand. I had no offers. So to be honest, I averaged 4 points a game in college. Mm-hmm. So at Division I, you average 4 points a game, you're not good enough to go pro, no way, no how.
Right.
So I had to just dig, woke up at 4:30 every morning, just believed, I just knew that basketball was for me, even if there was no proof.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, stars aligned. I got offered to go on a mission trip with a team called Athletes in Action.
Sure.
We went to New Zealand for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Killed over there. I mean, I put up 30 points playing against top competition over there.
Really?
Right. Yeah, yeah. I went on a tear. Right. So then after that, I heard nothing. And I ended up training for G League teams, got put in the draft by the Cleveland Cavaliers G League team. Didn't get drafted, had no agent at the time. And a week later, once I didn't get drafted, a coach from Australia called me and said, hey, I've been watching you for a year. And during that time in the summer in L.A., right, I was playing in the Drew League. And I just got MVP of one of the games in the Drew League where a lot of NBA players play.
Sure, of course, we know.
So I think the coach was just tracking me, following me for a whole year. So you never know who's watching you. And I was just stayed prepared, stayed ready, and I got the call. And I was ready, and I went to Australia because that was the only option I had. Australia wasn't a big league at that time like it is now. I mean, you got LaMelo Ball that came out of there. So for me during that time, it was just a risk, and it was all I had, and I went with it. And it worked out. And it's kind of interesting because just watching that Sweetwater clip, I'm thinking about some similarities, how Coach Lapchick comes to him and he's talking to him about the New York Knicks. And Sweetwater starts telling him, oh, yeah, I know who's on your team. And that just shows you the preparation, the mind. He was ready for that next level, even if he didn't know there was a possible way. He was still studying his mind. His spirit was still reaching for higher, not just wanting to have a goal, but actually preparing for that mentally. And he was able to step in that opportunity
as
well.
It is pretty neat. Give me the name of somebody who's the best player you've been on the court with in your, whether it's high school or collegiately,
I wish
Australia.
I wish I had a twin. I'll say him.
Nice. I like it.
But the best player I've been on the court with, I mean, I spend summers training with a lot of greats, man. I spent summers playing in, you know, Phoenix Suns. I have never said this, but.
Go ahead.
I did beat Seth Curry one-on-one.
Where was this?
And he's a great player.
You said Seth, right?
Seth, yeah. Okay. So okay. Seth. Be Seth one-on-one. He's a great guy.
He is a great player.
Yeah. And I mean, the best player I've been on the court with, though, it's kind of tough to say. I mean, I've been with a lot of great players from
LA. Drop a name. Go for it. It's okay.
Let's see the best. Shout out to Devin Booker. I'll say Devin. He put up 70-plus, so I play pickup with him and when I was training with the Phoenix Suns, so I'll say him.
Okay, 70. You know, in the NBA, not against you on that.
No, but that's why I'm going to say him. I mean, because whoever I've been on the court with, he's probably put up the most points.
Okay.
So I would say Devin. And he's up and coming. He's still going. He's still young. So right. I shout out to Devin.
And so when you step on the court for the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game, you must have been like, I got this. I mean, come on. DK Metcalf's going to step on my court. I understand he's an NFL, you know, Pro Bowl wide receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, get out of here, right? You had to say you've got the game for this event.
You know
right?
What's crazy about that is?
Look at you, by the way, right there. I like it.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Actually, I think that one was, wasn't the dunk.
That wasn't the dunk?
We should have the one where we flush it, man, the second half. That was so beautiful.
Okay.
Ran next to Shaq, did the fist with the
With
the muscle. I shook Jeremy Piven's hand as if he was Coach Lapchick because he was right on the court. It was a beautiful moment. You couldn't make it. It was so much magic that happened, man. It was like epitome of how the film was. Just a lot of magic you couldn't make up. Seriously, it was just God moments. The All-Star game was beautiful. I mean, ended up breaking the scoring record, 23 points on MJ's birthday, 23 for 23.
Oh.
So I didn't really expect much but to have fun and play ball, but I knew that it was going to be competitive because there's Simu Liu right there. Shout out to him.
That's who you're shooting over?
Yeah. Simu Liu, yeah, he's a great guy.
He's a great guy. He needs to close a little better, I think.
a little bit. I mean, but he's doing his best. You see the full arm extension?
He's doing his best.
He did his best. Right, which I knew was going to happen. I knew there was a lot of great people there, and everyone's going to compete. And they said that, you know, that was probably the most competitive game all All-Star Weekend was that celebrity game. They said they've never seen a celebrity game that competitive ever. So I take pride in that.
The actual All-Star game wasn't competitive, so, you know, that's not a very high bar.
It wasn't.
So was DK on your team?
I played against DK, but he was a great competitor. I mean, All-Star competition, right? And what's crazy is we played at the University of Utah, and that's where I played my first game. In Texas.
No way.
Our first game was at the University of Utah against the Utes, DeLon Wright, Kyle Kuzma. And it was a full circle moment for me, man. So
yeah, look at you. And then you're there and your movie's coming out 2 months later. Yeah. And
can't make it up.
You cannot
make it up, yeah.
So did you try to dunk on DK, or like you had to? I'm already picking up from you. Here's what I'm picking up, Everett. I'm picking up you've got a very confident way about yourself and your ability, certainly on a basketball court. You had to go into this game thinking, if DK is going to try and be outside the circle, I don't care, I'm going to go over him. You had to say that in your
You're
head.
You're very right? smart, man.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. That was a thought. I'm not going to lie. I thought that. I wanted that, actually. I wanted to get a catch a body on somebody. Yeah. But it didn't happen. But we still got a nice, dunk, one dribble past the three-point line, nice flush.
Okay.
It was fun, man. It was a great environment, great team. I mean, it was so beautiful to see the basketball world, the entertainment world combined.
Yeah.
The Sweetwater trailer released that day as
That's
well.
Cool.
Like the
right.
NBA has been a huge partner with us with this film. And I think that just it's a testament to what's going on. I mean, this is a true, authentic story. Like you said, it's been so long that we haven't heard about this story. So to have true sponsorship with the NBA and mm-hmm. them backing it is a huge testament to, okay, this is a true, real story. And Sweetwater's family is involved as well. So his daughter, Jatan Robertson,
mm-hmm.
she was on set. She was there. She's been involved. Martine has done a really good job of pretty much tying on both ends of keeping this whole thing, pretty much consistent and authentic.
That had to be for some pressure. The kids on the set.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of was, but it wasn't because, I mean, we were 2 weeks into filming already and she shows up and it was so beautiful seeing her face. She looks just like her.
Mm-hmm.
She's tall, like very calm, peaceful, mm-hmm. graceful human being. And she looked at me. She's like, wow, you have my dad's spirit. Like, and that was kind of crazy for me to hear during that moment. But it was beautiful because that let us know we were on the right track. That let us know that through all the 28 years of research that the script had, it was supported, it was true, it was raw.
Because
mm-hmm. Even from her mouth, she said, this is something my dad would say. This is how he would be. And it was right on track. So it wasn't as much pressure, but it's actually a weight off my shoulders knowing that, okay, if anyone I care about who cares about this performance, it's them, it's their family, and yeah. at least she's okay with it.
Well, and no, so is there any pressure that's Richard Dreyfuss, for crying out loud, sitting, acting in scenes?
I mean, it's Richard Dreyfuss.
That's
it's,
it.
It's Kevin Pollak. It's Cary Elwes.
Yeah.
It's so many greats, man. Look at them. It's so beautiful. But what's interesting is living in the world of Sweetwater, he knew during that time those people were important, So I never was in Everett world. It was always Sweetwater world. And how can we make this world? What value does this provide me? I wasn't looking at Richard Dreyfuss, Cary Elwes. I was like, okay, this is Mr. Podoloff,
mm-hmm.
right? This is Ned Irish. So we just lived in that world. And the beautiful thing about those legends we just saw, they've been in this game for so long, Rich.
Oh, yeah.
But they showed up every day like it was their first and last day. I promise you, I'm not just saying that. Like every day, even Richard, he's like still figuring out how to make each scene the best. What can we bring? It just not stopping as far as reaching that level of excellence and just being present. And just awesome people, awesome servants to this industry, and I'm grateful.
Well, I appreciate you letting me into Everett World for a few minutes here.
Sure.
And you come back anytime.
Thank you, man.
You come back anytime. Congratulations on this.
I appreciate it.
So are you a Laker or a Clipper? What are you?
Well, Clippers just won.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You trying to set me up?
Oh, no, I'm just... it's not a setup.
No,
I mean,
no.
You're from the Palisades, so well, I figure you're a Laker fan.
To be specific, Robertson Boulevard, Robertson Park is where I grew up. Since the age of four. To be specific,
see,
if we don't know,
one
just
more
let you
time.
Know.
Boy, you got sharp elbows in the paint. Okay, very good.
No, but I grew up watching the Lakers. The late, great Kobe Bryant. I saw him do three-peat with Shaq. So I'm a Laker fan because I saw what Kobe did. I love LeBron as well. But, man, I love how Russell Westbrook plays. He's from L.A. Mm-hmm. Hard work is my guy. Norman Powell plays for them as well. Kawhi Leonard. I mean, Paul George. I've worked out with him at Santa Monica Stairs before. So, I mean, I'm connected to L.A. I'm born and raised in L.A. And it's beautiful just to be here during this time. Basketball's at an all-time high. And I'm happy to be in the middle of it.
Well, congrats on being in the middle of it through a terrific film, Sweetwater, about Nat Sweetwater Clifton. Available in theaters Friday. That's next week, April 14th. The man who plays Sweetwater, Everett Osborne. Pleasure meeting you. Come back anytime you like.
Rich, I will, man. It's been an honor. Thank you.
Thank you for saying that. Greatly appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's not Palisades' own, along with Staten Island's own here on The Rich Eisen Show. Everybody check out Everett Osborne out at Everett Osborne on both Twitter and Instagram as well. Back to wrap up the show in a sec.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Everett Osborne leaving the set right now. I love that. You just said goodbye, TJ. Tonight at Passover, we call that a Jewish goodbye. In Staten Island, in New York City. So we call it.
Ish. I mean, adjacent.
New York adjacent.
That's you didn't exactly like it when I'm like, oh, you're from the Palisades. See?
New York adjacent.
You know? Two can play at that game.
New Jersey.
Very funny.
New
Jersey.
Sit at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Wait, did he say he worked out with Paul George? Is that what he?
Yeah.
So he helped him manage the load? Is that what he was doing?
Whoa, easy now.
Paul George is injured right now.
Before he got injured.
This guy, jeez.
Before he got injured.
Okay.
Man, kick a man when he's down.
I'm not kicking him. I'm not kicking him. How am I kicking him?
Because you just did.
He was a load-managed player. You want to talk about, you know,
remember when he snapped his leg in two? All right. Sometimes you got to manage these things.
You know what the NBA should do? They should come up with the all-NBA load-managed team. Kawhi's on it. Who else is on it? Who's
I don't know.
No, who is the most you can look it up. I'm sure this stuff can be looked up. Like, who did not play back-to-backs all year long because of injury management?
This season?
Of an injury that they did not have. Like, I could get it. Like, 20 games Anthony Davis misses. He hadn't played back-to-back since November. And last night was his first back-to-back he'd played since November. The guy had 20 games he missed with a foot injury. And he even said after the game, I'm all right, but I felt better. Like, I get it. I'm talking about injuries that were suffered not this season. Whoever didn't play back-to-backs, let's get the best player. And I bet you we could fill out a center, two forwards, and two guards for first NBA, first team load managed. Kawhi's on it. Kawhi's on that team. Who else is it?
I don't see this stat anywhere yet.
Not a real stat.
It's not a real stat. It's not a real stat. You know why? Because no one's going to keep it.
Yeah, I don't.
No one's going to keep it.
Again,
and whoever's the best player gets a trophy named after whichever health analytics assistant came up with the idea of, like, let's start resting people by coming up with a plan in August that we're going to stick to all the way through to March and April. Leave players looking like they don't want to play basketball. Who's with me?
I think this is just your hill to die on, man. I think
Brockman's not with me.
This is just your hill to die on.
First team, all NBA load managed. Let's do it.
I can't even find the load management stats, though.
And the fans who vote on the players, it's a fan vote, and only fans who paid for tickets and didn't see these players because they were being load managed are allowed to vote. What do you think? I think it's a great idea.
Sound like a scarred man.
Mm-hmm. I found like what?
A scarred man.
I am a scarred man.
Scarred man.
I'm also a bored man waiting for Aaron Rodgers to become a Jet. Monster.com can help you slam dunk your job hunt and make your best career move. Sink that putt. And the putt being your job hunt. Guess what you need to do is take your resume, go to Monster.com and upload it to Monster.com and watch The millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts start counting for you. When you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can already be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. So you don't even know you're being recruited as soon as you put your resume on Monster.com. And Monster.com knows how to match you with the best job fits. And when you score the position, there's a salary calculator that ensures that you're paid what you're worth. Just go to Monster.com, take your resume, upload it, and win your job hunt today. Monster.com. I need birds. I need music. The music, are we going to come up with a different tune for tomorrow? Have you rejected this?
You guys can find it.
What do you mean? It's your job.
Because I tried with Hoskins, and we looked through. I typed in golf music. There's like, give me like some type of guidance, and I will look.
Slow piano.
I looked at that.
No, you didn't.
Hoskins, tell Rich.
Show me the search history.
I can't.
Hoskins is agreeing that he did look for it.
I deleted it.
This is it goes away as soon as you close
it. All right, so then forget the music. Because it upsets Chris, and I need him focused on the update. Okay.
Just the birds. Get the birds.
So, I love the birds. Shane Lowry is your leader in the clubhouse at 4 under, from what I could see.
Yes. Yeah,
so but Shane there's three goes, on the course that have, six, better, yeah. that have better that have better better marks, correct?
Rich, former champ Adam Scott, eagled 13. He's at 5 under.
Okay.
Xander Schauffele's on fire. He's 5 under.
That was Scott Van Pelt's pick.
Chasing Victor Hovland, who's 7 under through 16. John Rahm just added to the group at 5 under with a birdie on 15 as well. Shane Lowry, Brooks Koepka. Sam Burns started birdie eagle. He's 4 under through 4.
Look at that. Can you imagine you're playing in the Masters? You walk into the fifth hole and you're already 4 under. I couldn't imagine what that would feel like.
He won the match play 2 weeks ago. Keep an eye out for Sam Burns. Chris Kirk, 3 under.
Cam Young, another guy that Van Pelt highlighted.
Started out hot, as I said earlier, birdies on the first three holes. He's 3 under through 14. The amateur, Sam Bennett, also started birdie eagle. In the history of the Masters, no one's ever started the tournament birdie eagle. Two guys did it. Sam Bennett, Sam Burns.
Nobody's ever strolled to the third tee.
3 under.
3 under in the history of the Masters.
In the history of the Masters, it's happened twice today.
And one of them's an amateur.
One of them, an amateur, Sam Bennett. He's 3 under through 4.
It's tough to call him an amateur. I know they're not getting paid, but there's no name, image, and likeness deal in golf?
He probably has a name.
That's what I'm saying. So he's an amateur, but we're still going to call him an amateur?
He won last year's USAM at Ridgewood Country Club in New Jersey.
Ridgewood?
Well, it looks like Adam Scott has taken that chocolate chip cookie skillet that he got the other night, and he wants another jacket. Probably let out the jacket, that chocolate chip cookie skillet.
I don't think so. Have you seen Adam Scott?
I have seen him. I played at the Genesis with him.
Yeah, very attractive.
He played his college golf in Las Vegas, Nevada. UNLV's finest, Adam Scott.
I can only imagine how he did on the weekends, TJ.
I think he made the cut.
He made the cut.
What are you talking about? Exactly?
If that's what you're referring to.
I don't think he made the cut.
That's what I'm referring to.
That's not where my head went.
Jason Kelsey's going to be. We're going to be saying goodbye to him at this point tomorrow after a full hour in studio. You know what was also on tomorrow's show? Joey Porter Jr. is on tomorrow's program. You know what's also on tomorrow's program? Russell Crowe.
Hey, oh, yeah.
That's how we're rolling into the weekend.
Yeah.
And us.
In a movie I have no intention of watching. I'm sorry. I can't.
Which is what? Russell Crowe's The Pope's Exorcist?
Ooh, I saw a trailer. I'm going to have to sit this one.
How does that not have you at hello? Because the Pope does apparently have a real exorcist.
This looks scary.
And in this film, it's Russell Crowe. We're back to wrap the show in a sec.